This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing and signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. 877-217-5757, your number wherever you are. Send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. And we start with a legendary political consultant, Dick Morris, who's worked for people on both sides of the aisle, most notably Bill Clinton. Many moons ago, he represented a Democrat in Louisiana named Charles Elson Buddy Romer. He's been on the national scene as a consultant for several decades, as we know, and he is back with a new book, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. There are claims that Donald Trump will not run again for president. After all, he will be 78 years old in 2024. But if Joe Biden's the Democratic nominee, he'll be 3 years older than Donald Trump. So age is a virtue in some ways, perhaps an impediment in others. And Donald Trump, despite other flaws, appears to be a man of great energy. And Dick Morris, through the years, I suspect you have gotten to know him quite well. Welcome again to our show and your thoughts about Donald Trump's capability at his dotage to be the president of the United States once again.
If he's dotage at 78, boy, I'd like to be dotage as he is. I've known Trump my whole life. My father was his attorney and a real estate attorney. And Trump is energetic. He's sharp. He's whip smart. You look at all the rallies he does. Look at the schedule he keeps. His memory for stats and for facts is unbelievable. He's one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. There's no question in my mind that he, A, is running, and B, will do a great job. In my book, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback, I say that Trump is going to run. He's going to win the nomination, probably without a primary, and he's going to win the election.
All right. Well, he has won one time, and he lost another. But both times, he did not win the overall vote. He's the only president other than John Quincy Adams to lose the overall vote twice. Does that really matter?
No, it doesn't, because the overall vote is so heavily concentrated in California and with 10% of the country's population. And in certain Democratic cities where the margins pile up to gigantic margins, many of them fraudulent.
And, now, wait a minute. Why are they fraudulent?
Well, I'm not going to get into relitigating 2020. I believe that the problem, but answering your question, the popular vote is not how we elect the president, nor really should it be, because otherwise you'd have a presidency basically selected by a handful of states. Trump can win because he is the only candidate for president who can say the four words that are essential to winning, which is, I did it already. When you look at any of the major problems we have, every single one of them were things that Donald Trump solved when he was president. When he was president, the gas prices were $2 because we were not deliberately...
Well, there are reasons, of course, for the spike in gas prices that I think go beyond who is president. And he didn't solve everything. We had a record deficit that Joe Biden has reduced.
You're calling to interview me. Do you want me to get a word in edgewise?
Well, you're saying things, Dick, that I think warrant a response. But go ahead. Okay, finish.
Okay. The gas prices are high because the Democrats want them to be high, because they want to discourage fossil fuels. They want to discourage oil and gas drilling. And by stopping the pipelines, by stopping fracking, by stopping offshore drilling, the Democrats have deliberately constricted the supply of energy, which is causing the high gas prices. As to the deficit, Trump ran a huge deficit because of the immediate need for a COVID relief package when the disease struck. And that $1.2 trillion averted a dramatic crash.
I can't let you just say something that is partially true.
Added, Biden added over added $2 trillion to the deficit.
No, the deficit has come down. It has come down significantly under Joe Biden.
Significantly by God.
It's gone.
Okay, goodbye.
It's gone. Come down significantly. Look at the numbers, and I think we just lost Dick Morris. So here's a guy. What's Jack Nicholson's line? He can't handle the truth. I mean, come on. He thinks he's going to come on this show and not be challenged when he makes outrageous statements. We'll try to get him back, but we've had a case in which we've talked to Dick Morris for many years. He did represent Buddy Romer in 1987. That was a win for him in Louisiana. He represented Ben Baggert in 1990 when Baggert was running for the U.S. Senate in the race that had David Duke and Bennett Johnston. Dick Morris did not do as well in that one, but it's a show in which a response is warranted, and Dick Morris obviously didn't like it when I interrupted him when he was talking about the deficit not coming down under Joe Biden. Check the numbers. The deficit has been reduced. Other things are not as well as they were under Donald Trump, including inflation. That is true. But we have to present the full picture. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle is rankled by comments. The full picture is sometimes painful if you're backing a candidate. 877-217-5757. I know David in Atlanta would rather talk to Dick Morris than to me, but David, you have the floor, my friend.
Brandon, I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to have an audience with Mr. Morris, and I'll tell you why. As a resident of Atlanta, I recall very distinctly that Mr. Morris appeared multiple times on the Neil Bork Show. Neil Bork and Mr. Morris were very chummy. That's the same Neil Bork who wrote speeches for the racist governor of Georgia, Lester Maddox, who chased black people out of his restaurant with an axe hammer.
All right. That's guilt by association, and I don't think Dick Morris is a racist. He's a lot of things, but I don't think he's a racist.
I wouldn't sit next to Neil Bork or any of my time.
David, that's like some of the people on the conservative side. They were saying they wouldn't sit next to people. You name a liberal who's outspoken and controversial, but I don't like guilt by association, and that's what we're talking about here. And Dick Morris also was associated for many years with Bill Clinton. He was a big part of Clinton's success when he was governor of Arkansas. Ultimately, they had a falling out, and Dick told the story about the 1990 falling out. He said he was assaulted by Bill Clinton, that he beat him up in the mansion. I'm laughing at the irony of that because Clinton is not really a fighter. As we know, he's more lover than fighter, but Dick Morris must have gotten on his last nerve. And as you can hear by his departure from our show, Dick Morris is a pretty sensitive guy. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mike.
Man, thank goodness he hung up. I was wondering if you was going to ask him about the foot deal. Remember the foot deal?
Oh, I remember that, and that would be a cheap shot. He's been with us so many times that he's actually addressed that on this show many moons ago. And he did have an association with prostitutes, but it would be unfair to keep pounding away at the man on that, and that's just not fair to him. His life is much more than that, and he has addressed it, and he did pay a price for it. Now, Dick Morris was fired by none other than Fox News in the year of 2012, 10 years ago, because he incorrectly predicted that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan were going to beat Barack Obama, who turned 61 today. Happy birthday to the 44th American president. But Dick Morris, to his credit, 4 years later, when just about everybody, including yours truly, was predicting Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump, Dick Morris said Trump would win, and he did, although he did lose the overall vote by almost 3 million votes. And I thought the most preposterous thing he said in our brief time with him this morning was that if we had the popular vote, only a few big cities, big states would control the vote. Well, one vote per person is not an unreasonable prospect in the United States. The only election you can lose the vote in and win is the presidency. That's like saying that all the parishes in Louisiana should not be counted equally as far as votes in those parishes, because a few big parishes control the outcome. And sometimes that's true. If John Bel Edwards had not won Orleans Parish by 100,000 and Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge Parish by 50,000, he would have lost to Eddie Rasponi by 110,000 votes. But people who live in Orleans and East Baton Rouge, their votes count as much as those who live in places like Tensaw and Calcasieu, and go down the list. It is preposterous not to have a one vote per person system for the greatest office in the world, the presidency of the United States. And Democrats have won 7 of the last 8 overall votes for president, but yet only have 5 of the last 8 victories due to the Electoral College. And, of course, guys like Dick Morris can't acknowledge that they won the last time when the overall vote was by more than 7 million in favor of Biden over Trump. We're back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us today for Talk Louisiana. In a bit, we're going to hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate. Dick Morris hightailed it pretty early in our interview when he was questioned about some of the statements he was making regarding Biden and Trump. And as a result, he didn't like it, and he went on his way. And that's his prerogative. And I must say, through the years, I've enjoyed talking with Dick. Nothing against him personally at all, although I think he just proved he's a man who cannot bench press his weight. 877-217-5757, Jacoby in Lafayette. Jacoby, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. One of the reasons I think that we keep getting these elections where we have the popular vote going to one candidate and the Electoral College going to the other is we have increased the number of people in the House of Representatives since 1913. At that time, we had 92 million population in the United States. In 2020, we had 331 million. We've had a threefold increase in the U.S. population. That's because of the 1929 law that set...
All right. Well, what good would it do to expand the U.S. House of Representatives?
Okay. So what happens is...
And please get off... hold on. Please get off that speakerphone. I can barely understand what you're saying, Jacoby. Why would it be an advantage to be to increase the members of the U.S. House of Representatives? What good would that do?
Well, one of the reasons is because states with low populations get a disproportionate number of people in the House of Representatives. They're representing a lot fewer people. So one representative in Wyoming represents maybe 300,000 people.
Now, wait a minute. That's not true either. That's not true either. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. It's not true. Hold on. It's not true because Wyoming only has one representative. And House districts are determined by the number of people in the district. Now, Louisiana, you might have a difference between a few thousand here or there, but we have 6 congressional districts, and they're all relatively the same, with about 4.8 million people. Each district has about 800,000 people. So the House is not skewed wrongly. It's the Senate that's all messed up. Wyoming, with a state that has a population with fewer people than Metro Baton Rouge, has 2 U.S. senators, and California, with 40 million people, has 2 U.S. senators. So we have a case right now where Democrats have 50 seats in the Senate, and yet those 50 seats represent 56% of the overall population. So I think the remark you make, Jacoby, would be appropriate for the Senate, but not necessarily for the U.S. House of Representatives. But instead of gaming the system with population, the problem in the House is that the seats are gerrymandered. And it is true of both parties, but the Republican Party seems to be doing a much better job of it, because there have been a few elections of late when all the votes tallied for the U.S. House showed Democrats with a majority, but yet Republicans have a majority number of seats in some of those cycles. Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Charlotte, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I'm calling about the in action there was after the hurricane in Lake Charles, and it took a different president in office to get any assistance, because Scalise was able to apply to President Biden and get that funding. And I don't believe that it was because of that new or younger representative Clay Higgins not doing anything. I believe that what happens in sausage making, the person may go and speak with somebody and they say, well, the president's not going to give anything. Go sit in your office and sit still. And what do you think of that?
Well, I think you're on to something there. Although I think Clay Higgins would like to be called young. I think he's around 60 years old. He's not a youngster, but he is new to the process, relatively so, in Washington. And it appears that Steve Scalise is much better at lobbying for money, even when he's doing so with a president he despises in Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. But you make a good point. Thank you for calling, Charlotte. It's good to hear a friendly voice today. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. And I hope I'm a friendly voice, too. And I hate to see what happened this morning. But do you foresee that this is going to be the – because, I mean, Trump's going to run for the next election. I think he will. Do you see this as how the temperament of interviews, of response from other reporters who are in support of him, that if it's just not their way, then they just hang up? Or – really, that you just don't see a lot of candidates even going to reporters, going to people ask of your stature, questioning. Just put it on social media and let it happen.
Yeah,
it
well, I think we all like to have people who agree with us. And when you're doing an interview, and Dick, the reason I stepped in is that he's a sharp dude. He's done this a long time. If I wouldn't have broken in, he would have darted to another topic and another topic and another topic, and it would be 5 or 6 minutes before I could get a word in edgewise. And he was saying some things that warranted a response. And Dick knows that, but he didn't like it. And most of the people he talks with are, we're talking talk radio here. Most talk radio shows are from the right side of the political spectrum. Now, Dick knows me. He knows it's not going to be the same kind of terrain that he has when he goes on other shows, but somehow, some way, I got on his last nerve today, and I'm sorry that I did, because he's a good guest, and hopefully he will come back. But he's not he's not answering his phone right now. He's probably chewing out his publicist for agreeing on his behalf to do the interview. 877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim. You know, the thing is, Congress is working great for the millionaire class, and most of the seats in the House and Senate are held by millionaires. It's pretty astounding, and you need $5,000 to talk to somebody. I mean, the system is rigged, but we're fighting. And I thank you, Jim. You're really great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's another friendly voice. Always great to hear from Phil. And it does help to be rich. It helps in every facet of life, not just running for Congress, but if you've got money, you can do things other people can't. And you think about most people in our country, they don't have their safety needs taken care of. About half the people in this country can't handle a $500 debt if they had to pay right now. And think about that. These people are living at the margins, and can you understand their frustration when there's inflation? It costs over $100 for them to fill up their gas tank. I understand it. And usually somebody gets blamed, and it's usually the party in power. And Joe Biden has been in power with rampant inflation. Now, there are other factors. There are nuances here, the war in Ukraine being one of them, and the fact that we're coming out of inactivity under COVID, and now we have robust activity, and as a result, prices go up. People are working. Employment is good. But the president, as Harry Truman says, the buck stops here. And I would think that Democrats might very well have a challenge in the midterm election, which is now inside 100 days. But the vote in Kansas on abortion is indicative of the fact that the Republican dominated U.S. Supreme Court may have overstepped its hand, and at least in Kansas, which is a state every bit or even more conservative than Louisiana, 60% of the people basically said women should have the right to choose if they want an abortion. Jesse and Gonzalez. Jesse, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jesse. It's good to hear your voice.
Excellent. I just wanted to call and let you know I appreciate your your candidness on all matters and your ability to voice both sides. I know we've got a lot of division in this country these days, and we just need more radio hosts like you, Mr.
Well,
Jim.
Well, thank you. And Jesse, I know you've called in a time or two and disagreed with me, and I like that. I love it when Patrick in Innisfail Estates calls and when Gustavo in Goodwood calls. You know, we need all ideas represented. And as long as people don't call in and bombard us with profanity or say really outrageous things about people that can't be defended because the person's not here or maybe they're dead, I'm okay with it. But Jesse, it's always good to get a compliment from somebody who on occasion takes offense at some of the things I say. And believe me, I'm the first to admit I'm not always right, and I'm subject to change in my opinions. And I learn a lot more when I listen than when I talk. And we'll be back with a guy who we all like to listen to, Mark Ballard, when we return after this brief time out with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our Thursday tradition continues with Mark Ballard of the Advocate Picayune. And thank goodness, in all the years we've talked with Mark, he's never hung up the phone on me. Now, there have been a few guests, probably more than a few. When you go to a break, suddenly when you come back from the break, they're gone. So they're a little more subtle than Dick Morris was today. To my knowledge, and I can't remember the last time somebody just hung up in the middle of a conversation in a segment. Last time was Van Coulter on January 15th, 2009. So we've gone about 13 and a half years since this happened. And Dick Morris and Ann Coulter, is there a theme here? 877-217-5757. Mitchell in Sherwood. Mitchell, you're on with yours truly and Mark Ballard. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Jim. Good day to you, Jim. I just want to say you're a good man. You give people a verse that would never have a verse on the radio. So keep doing what you're doing. And also, you said Trump has charisma. And you had more charisma in your pinky finger than Trump because charisma come from Christ, Christos. So you keep doing your job, and we all love you. Peace.
Well, God bless you, Mitchell. And now Trump's dad's name was Frederick Christ Trump. But Donald Trump, I think the fact that he got the number of votes he received, even though he did not win the overall vote, indicates he has charisma. And he has people, Mark Ballard, who, even though it's a minority in this country, they're so passionate about him that we've talked about this more than once. Lawmakers are afraid to inflame Trump because they know that his supporters will, if it comes down to, let's say, a fight between Garrett Graves and Donald Trump, Garrett Graves is going to lose that with the Republican base, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, have you ever seen him in these rallies? I mean, he's very entertaining. I mean, and I get a lot of grief when I say that, but it is true. He's very entertaining, and we kind of like entertaining politicians in Louisiana.
And you notice when I was talking with Dick Morris, I didn't interrupt him when he said Trump was smart. I think he is extremely smart, and to do what he has done, think about in modern time, he's in everybody's head, even today. People who loathe him think about him a lot, and people who love him think about him a lot.
Yeah, he controlled the narrative during, well, in the race as well as when he was president, and that's hard to do. That's hard to pull off, and so I think as a politician that he's done very well. I mean, and you can't argue that.
And if I woke up every day with all the things on Donald Trump's plate, all these investigations, the last thing that I would be thinking about is running for re-election to the presidency, but he just keeps on going. Now, some would say that's an example that he's a sociopath. He's created his own universe, but in his life, despite the fact that he has done it in a way that some would say is far from the American way, it has worked very well for Donald John Trump, and we'll see if he keeps on going. But he stands the chance of being the first president of the United States to lose three times in the overall vote. And, of course, he also is perhaps the only Republican that Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. could beat if Biden runs. And that probably explains why Fox News has not interviewed Donald Trump in more than 100 days. Isaac in Sherwood. Isaac, you're on with Mark and yours truly. Hi, Isaac.
How you doing, Jim? I just want to tell you, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, man. I've been all over the United States more than once, and you are the best. I listen to talk shows from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida, and you are good.
Well, God,
and Mark, you are not bad either. Y'all have a wonderful
day. I think I may need to write Dick Morris a thank you note, getting all these testimonials. I'm waiting for somebody to say, dittos, Jim, dittos. But, Mark, you are following what's going on in our world. We did have qualifying, and two U.S. Congress people in Louisiana got by with no opposition. But based on this vote in Kansas two nights ago, in which 60%, 59% of the people in Kansas voted for a woman's right to have an abortion, a very conservative state, I might add. I'm trying to think the last time Kansas went to a Democratic candidate. I think it was Lyndon Johnson in 1964. It is more conservative than Louisiana. Is that a harbinger of things to come in November?
You know, I'm unsure, but it certainly shows that the Republicans may have overplayed their anti-abortion hand. And certainly, I was kind of surprised by the outcome in Kansas. I don't think that they're quite as conservative as our conservatives are in Louisiana, but still, that seems to indicate that the Republicans need to back off a little bit on the anti-abortion stance. You know, it allow for more exceptions, have a little bit more flexibility on it.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. Randy and Zachary. Randy, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, Jim. As I recall, a few years ago, Sebastian Gorka.
You're right. You have a good memory. You're right. He did hang up the phone as well. And once again, is there a theme? Sebastian Gorka, Ann Coulter, Dick Morris. All people who are volatile spokespeople, very good ones from the right side of the spectrum, but they don't like it when they're challenged. And Dick Morris was going to talk for 5, 6, 7 minutes and not give me an opportunity to break in. And he would have hit 6 or 7 topics. And in every one of them, he was at the very least shading the truth. And what really got his goat was when I mentioned that the deficit had come down under Joe Biden, and that's irrefutable. It has come down. The Congressional Budget Office says the deficit was $193 million in 2022, but that billion dollars, that's way, way down from the $1 trillion and actually $2 trillion under Donald John Trump. Congressional Budget Office estimates the federal government ran a deficit of $88 billion in June. That's 1 month, which would mean that we're headed for about $1 trillion. But it was $2.5 trillion in Trump's last year in office. So, yes, the deficit has been reduced. 877-217-5757. A few days ago, Mark had a story that was prominent. Louisiana senators vote to delay veterans' bill. And then today, front page, Louisiana veterans to benefit from health care bill. What's going on, Mark?
Well, this is probably the largest, the biggest health care for veterans bill expansion in a generation. And it's basically allowing and making it easier for veterans who have certain kinds of diseases, cancers, and that sort of thing that came about from breathing these burn pits that are in every single base around the world, as well as being exposed to radiation, as well as Agent Orange and other toxins. And what the Republican senators from our state and many other states argued was that there was a language problem in the bill itself that could be easily amended, and that language problem opened the door to the possibility of diverting some of that money from the veterans' health care to other things. And so they voted. It was a procedural vote, but often the same procedural vote is used to kill bills. But this case, they voted to delay it so that they could bring up these amendments. Well, they did bring up the amendments lost, and both of our senators voted for the amendments, but then it came down to the actual bill, which had not been changed much at all since it was originally passed in mid-July, and they voted for it.
They voted for it after showing some reticence, but Cassidy and Kennedy are on board at the finish line, and Louisiana, as Mark notes in his front page story today, has 283,000 veterans, so it's a lot of people, and these are folks who served us with their service in the United States military. John in Broadmoor. John, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say, Jim, thank you for what you do. The Trump people may be very vocal and very energetic, but there is at least a good group of people within our society and in our community that want to hear some even-handed journalism. Mark is doing a great job as well. So I just want to thank you guys, and I wish we had more people like you.
Well, thank you, John. And as I stated, I think I owe Dick Morris a favor now. But hopefully he'll come back. I'm somewhat skeptical, and I was thinking since 1998, when I first started doing this on June 22nd, I've had Dick Morris on at least 10 times, and the very first guest on the very first show on, and I've done talk shows, but this was when Louisiana Live started, June 22, 1998, the first guests were Dick Morris and Buddy Romer. And at that time, Dick Morris was a Clinton lover. So as we know, Dick's been a bit flexible in his career, and he is now no longer welcome at Fox News, and it appears that President Trump isn't either, but Dick Morris believes Trump is coming back, and I think he will give it a whirl. What else does Donald Trump have to do but to run for president? You know, a lot of people in that office, Jimmy Carter is a notable person to mention, it looked like they hated the job. Well, Mark, I think Trump loved the job. He actually loved being president of the United States.
Well, I think you may be correct about that. And he certainly does not like losing. And but I think that there are a number of Republicans that are kind of hoping that he sort of steps aside, because there's that January 6th hearings have cost him a lot of support, at least raising questions on many of his supporters. And but, you know, how that works out, because he still holds a tremendous grip on the Republican Party. So it ought to be interesting to watch.
Another quarter hour with the remarkable Mark Ballard of the Advocate/Picayune. We're back after this. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and Mark Ballard is our guest, as he is almost every Thursday. Soon he will be moving to Washington, D.C., and we plan on continuing to talk with him then, if he doesn't get too big for his britches.
I was going to say, they have phones in Washington as well.
They do, but it'll be a little later in the morning, but Mark's in. Guy gets started early, and this will probably be like his lunch break at 10:30 or when we talk to him when he's in Washington, D.C. Jonathan in New Iberia. Jonathan, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? I'm going to make this quick, Jim. First of all, you've always been a gentleman. You've always spoken wonderfully on the radio in terms of your guests, regardless of how they, you know, what slant they have left or right. But here's the question I have for you, and it has nothing to do with any other subjects. When are you going to have Moon Griffon on?
Moon Griffon. Well, I tell you what, I'll have him on when he has me on his show. And Moon and I are friends, and believe it or not, but his politics are way out there in my view. But I've told him over and over again, and I know I'm right, and it's not just the last election. If that guy had ever run for Congress in the district now represented by Julia Letlow, Moon Griffon would have been a member of the United States Congress. If you've never met Moon, he's about 6'5". He played basketball at Redemptorist. In fact, I knew him when his name was Blaine Griffin. Now it's Moon Griffon. And he is a charismatic fella. He's a nice guy, but when he goes on the air, this persona takes over and he becomes Mr. Conservative. And Moon thinks some of these people on the right side of the political spectrum are liberals. So you can imagine what he thinks of somebody like Nancy Pelosi, or you can just pick your Democrat, and he doesn't like them a lot, and he expresses that. But I have no aversion at all to talking with Moon. But I don't know that he would be a really good guest, because he would spout things that are untrue, in my view, and I would challenge him, and we probably wouldn't get anywhere and wouldn't change anybody's minds. We would just have a showdown that probably would irritate more people than enlighten. So that's where we are. But if he invites me, I certainly will reciprocate. James in Metairie, you're on with Mark Ballard. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mark. Real quickly, Jim, you mentioned Fred Trump, Donald Trump's father. Just to refresh everybody's memory, 1927, Fred Trump was arrested at a KKK rally in the New York City area. Donald Trump has the distinction of being the only U.S. president whose father was ever arrested at a Klan rally. Now, Mark, as you know, on August the 1st, on Monday, the new law went into effect. Noodling is now legal in the state of Louisiana. And that's kind of sticking your hand into murky water and, you know, just trying to feel your way around. Well, you know, it's like I chatter aimless, perfect political description for several members of our state legislature. Thanks, Mark.
Well, actually, I'm kind of shocked that you would need to make that a law. Noodling, that is. I can't imagine any scenario in which I would put my hand down into a little tunnel to grab a catfish. but there it is. Yes, it's illegal now in Louisiana.
All right. Well, my our listener, John West in New Road, says Dick Morris and Ann Coulter are the same astrological sign, and that, quote, Jim should avoid dating a Sagittarius. Point well taken. Dick's birthday is actually November 28th, 1948, and if I remember, Ann Coulter is born on December the 8th, I think, and that's why she hung up on me, is that we began to talk about her age, and she and President Obama are about the same age, and she didn't like it when that was mentioned, and she was off to the races. But the new laws on August 1st, one of them involves our friends in Acadiana, and for those of us who go there, if you drive on that Basin Bridge and you do it in fewer than 18 minutes, you're possibly going to get a ticket.
I would say that you're more than likely to get a ticket. At least when I drove across it on August the 1st, there were a lot of officers out, and they were all pulling over. What I noticed were, because all the Louisiana drivers were you know, right at 60 or a little above. But it was the folks from Alabama and Florida and Texas that looked at it as a raceway. And we would soon pass them on the side of the road in front of flashing lights and receiving what is going to be a $300 plus ticket.
So, yeah.
Now, the rest of this is going to take a year or two to kind of get in. And that is where they're going to be able to track your speeds electronically from when you get on at Rama and to when you get off at Henderson. So, but that's a year or so down the road, but changes, they are coming to the Atchafalaya Bridge.
There were some additions to marijuana laws in the legislature this year. And as a result, if you're smoking or vaping in your car, you could get in some real trouble. And at the same time, if there's a smell of cannabis, law enforcement people don't have the right to do a search of your car or your home anymore. So the legislature kind of split the baby on this, Mark.
Yeah, and there still is a long way to go. I mean, most of what they were doing in this session was trying to expand the accessibility to medical marijuana, not for recreational purposes, but when you have a prescription for a medical condition. And right now, it's limited number of pharmacies, only two growers and producers of it. And so they're trying to expand those people who who need it and are prescribed it to be able to find it at a reasonable price.
Well, Russian prosecutors asked the judge during closing arguments today to sentence Brittany Griner to 9.5 years in prison for bringing cannabis oil into Russia. Now, Griner did have the final word. Standing in a defendant's cage at the back of a tiny courtroom, she took responsibility for her mistake, apologized to her family, her teammates, and her Russian club for the embarrassment she brought them. That was her statement. And Brittany Griner was a national championship most valuable player at Baylor, and she played for one Kim Mulkey. And Kim Mulkey has been suspiciously silent about defending her greatest player. I think Kim Mulkey should say this is BS. I would hope at some point she would come forward and do just that, Mark.
Well, perhaps she's afraid of getting involved and making the situation worse. I mean, we're supposed to find out what the judge is going to say. I take it they haven't yet given her her sentence yet. And so I think that, the idea is to kind of, keep it a low-key thing if possible at this late date to do so.
Well, as we know, Louisiana's abortion law is now back in effect, which means essentially no abortions in Louisiana. There are a few exemptions, not including rape and incest, 24 conditions. This was a front page story 2 days ago from Emily Woodruff. Rebecca Gee, the former health secretary, who is a gynecologist herself, says that the list is far from complete. She notes that it doesn't include a type of pregnancy which could cause cancer. So, Mark, this is an issue that goes on, and based on what happened in Kansas, which we started with, I have a feeling that people in Louisiana may be far more accepting when it comes to abortion in some cases than those who are on, quote, the pro-life side realize.
Well, I think at least as far as it has to do with the exceptions, the issue as to whether the trigger law is constitutional or not is still in the courts. And basically what happened was that the appellate court said, all right, we're going to ban abortions until the courts sort out what happened, whether or not this trigger law is constitutional or not. I think that the exceptions issue is going to be a big one politically, even in Louisiana, which, as we all know, is fairly anti-abortion. So I guess we'll have to see.
Well, John Kennedy, mention what probably would have been a bigger topic had not Dick Morris hightailed it. John Kennedy gets by without a prominent Republican challenger. He does have Luke Mixon and Gary Chambers, two fairly well-known Democrats, but who are at a great disadvantage when it comes to money raising as his opponents, and several others. But, Mark, it doesn't look like the junior U.S. Senator, John Neely Kennedy, will be debating his challengers. And 4 years ago, he did debate in the primary, but the primary also included Charlie Bustani and Foster Campbell. A lot of people were in that race, Caroline Fayard. But this time around, I would suspect John Kennedy will not debate anybody.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's going to even be doing that much campaigning. He doesn't really need to, because I think that he's got a pretty easy road on this,
right,
despite the fact that there's a couple of two or three, substantial Democratic opponents. They don't have the money, as you mentioned. They don't have the support in a solid red state.
Well, we got a listener who wants you to comment on something. We'll save it for next week. Mark's last column regarding the impact of the U.S. Supreme Court using a Louisiana case. So we'll preview next week with that. We'll be talking with Mark if things go according to form a week from today. And until then, I'm Jim Inkster. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Podcasts available at WRKF.org and TalkLouisiana.org. And until tomorrow, for Robin Dow, thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.